I don't know, man. I'm looking. I don't see a goddamn thing.
Don't worry about it. Just put that one in there that you said that was good.
I put it in there, and it's not good.
It's not that good. You're right.
Rise from your grave.
Welcome to Indestructible Arts, the world's premier podcast for all things video games and, every once in a while, comic books, I guess. You're listening to episode 120. I'm sorry. You're listening to episode 228. My name is Evan Campbell.
There's another 100 in there.
Yeah, I keep doing that. 100
more episodes that you have forgotten about.
That's like my entire trend for this year. I think I said that you're here. Omar, you're here. Hi, Omar.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm tired. It's late.
We're a little bit loopy. It's a another Tuesday special episode, Tuesday night special, and we're here. We did things already, like all day, probably for work or whatever. What did you do today? Did you just go to work?
I did work. Yes.
Yeah, I know. I did that too. What's going on? What's going on in your world of video games, Omar? Like your world of video games, I feel like, and I'm a little jealous, is so much different than my world of video games. I should say your world of video games is so much different than my world of esports. Esports.
Like Battleborn.
It's I don't think it's an esport, man.
Is a MOBA.
We have over there at the Yahoo Esports, we have a selected panel of experts. And I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. I still don't know personally what that benchmark is, that line where a game goes from just being a fun multiplayer experience to an esport.
It's whether or not there's content on your website about it.
Well, I mean, there's that, you know. What are esports from your guys, from over there on the other side of the video games fence? The all-inclusive video games fence?
Nothing. There are none because it's all garbage.
There are no esports? Is that what you're saying?
They're all garbage.
All games are garbage, or all esports are garbage.
The same thing. Games are garbage.
Get out of here. What have you been playing?
People are garbage.
What have you been playing?
What have I been? I haven't played anything since fucking Overwatch shut down.
Ugh.
And then I bought Overwatch the other day, thinking I was going to get into the beta again.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't read the finer print.
Yeah.
Where it says, if you bought it on this date, you don't get in until fucking the 5th. So now I could just stare at it. Installed and paid for. And I can't fucking play it.
Overwatch. That's probably going to be an esport. I can say.
It's a goddamn esport.
What's your main? What's your character? What's your go-to?
I actually really enjoy playing the healer in that game.
Okay.
Healers, multiple healers, but I enjoy playing those.
What do they have names?
Healers? Lucio is one. He's got like cyber rollerblades.
Okay.
And you can like skate on the walls. And you heal people just by being around, which is cool.
That is cool.
Less hectic, less stressful. I don't know.
You don't have to think about it, huh? Well, if you had to deal some damage, who would you play?
I would play as Lucio, because you shoot and then you heal people around you.
Okay.
The best of both worlds.
Okay. So you could be a nice guy and, straight to business, I guess. What's that Overwatch community like? How are they treating you over there? Or before the beta shut down?
It's all been in beta, and it was in closed beta before, so I feel like it was like a really...
Yeah, select few, press and all that. It was a really select
few. And then once it started getting towards the end, that's when people started to get real riled up.
Uh-huh.
So like I noticed like no one was talking in any of the chats or anything. Like you just played your games and you had fun. And then in like the last weekend leading up to the thing closing down, people started throwing out all the grossness of the internet on there.
I feel like that's because they introduced ranked play during that week, right? Like that final week, they're like, hey, here's ranked matches or something.
Yes, that is true. They did do that, but I never played in that, and that's not the chat rooms I would have seen.
Yeah, I heard it got ugly in there in that ranked play.
Sure it did. They left that out of the currently running public beta, free public beta. They left that mode out.
Yeah, it's not quite ready. Blizzard takes their time.
Yeah.
I've been playing Dark Souls still. Playing Dark Souls 3. Man, I was like almost done with that game at a point. I mean, even early on, I always go through this with every Dark Souls. I'm like, why do I like this? I don't even like these games. Why do I keep playing them? And then you kind of hit that moment where just like kind of hooks you in a weird way. And you're like, oh no, like now I want to look at, I want to find everything here in this environment. Or like, yeah, I really enjoy this area. Or, but the thing is, the first two areas in that game, I don't even really like that much. I feel like they're almost even a little too, gothic isn't the word, but they remind me a little much of like stuff that I saw in Bloodborne. And obviously it's a lot like the other stuff in other Dark Souls, but yeah, I'm still playing that thing. It's okay. It's all right. I got a sword. Well, it's got frost on it. It's cool.
Just one of those?
Yeah, just one of those frosty swords. I went, I think another part of it too was like the, I forget what they call them. Like the, what is that class that starts with absolutely nothing?
It's like meek or something.
It's like it starts with a D. Depraved, maybe depraved.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So I started with that, and then yeah, finally like actually have clothes now. So that's good.
Why would you do that? Why would you start like that?
The base stats are all better. They all start at 10, whereas the other stats for the other characters are all like moved around. So now I find myself playing to whatever cool stuff I find instead of being like, I kind of have to commit to this strength build or this magic build, you know? But I just ended up building towards like dex and strength anyway. Eh.
You're not a magic dude throwing them fireballs?
No. I feel like in some ways it makes the game too easy, but maybe I should do that. I don't know. Like there's definitely moments where playing as a magic user doesn't make the game any easier. It makes it actually a lot harder in a lot of cases. But I feel like I've watched my brother-in-law like just steamroll Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 1. And I haven't seen him play Dark Souls 3, but I imagine he just does the same thing. Just goes all in on magic, can stay really far away from anything that would hurt him, and just lob magic spells at it until it's dead. I mean, it's a little harder for bosses, but yeah. Pretty sure the strategy is the same.
Well, you just get someone else in there to do it for you.
Yeah. We had a whole list of news stories, but they're all garbage.
They're all garbage.
So we threw them out. There was one cool one.
The whole world of video games, garbage. Garbage people, garbage games, everything.
I refuse. I refuse to let your attitude towards video games get me down tonight. So we're trudging through this. We're going forward. I want to talk to you about Severed, Omar. It may very well be the last Vita game ever.
Yeah.
You remember Severed? Drinkbox Studios, creators of Guacamelee, one of the coolest.
Yeah, I played it at something, I feel like 4 years ago.
Uh-huh. I remember you being psyched about it then.
Yeah, it was cool. It's got a cool art style. Similar to Guacamelee and stuff, but I honestly don't even know if I know where my Vita is.
You're probably using it to like keep one of the doors in your apartment open.
Yeah, it's like propping up a table so it doesn't rattle.
Yeah, like just keeps a window cracked just right. I love my Vita, and every 3 months or so, I go through, delete all the old games that are on there, and download new like PS Plus games, and buy like one or two indie games to play on there, and then I put it back in its case, put it on my shelf, and then 3 months later, I do the same thing, and I just don't play. Like I don't actually play it. It's very weird.
You know, because you know, 3DS same way. Handhelds are dumb. They're hard to hold.
I like the 3DS.
I feel like there's a specific use case, and I grew out of that use case a long time ago.
Oh, no.
Sitting in the back while your parents are driving somewhere. That's when you have handheld games.
Sure. Well,
I'm the one doing the driving. I cannot play on a trip.
Yeah, that's true. Because you have to drive. I mean, you could
pay attention.
Maybe work it out somehow, but
no.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
There was some big news. Nintendo NX was confirmed to launch in March of 2017.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was the extent of that announcement.
Also, didn't they say something like, not at E3. That's not what we're talking about.
They also said that they're not talking about it at E3, which I believe them because they pulled the same stuff with the Wii U and, some of their other hardware. But which is weird because that time that they did it, I think with the Wii U was still 2 years out. And I think the time before the Wii was also 2 years out. So they generally are pretty good about like a year and some change. Will kind of show you the NX, but they also did confirm that, I think they did confirm that Zelda will come to the NX as well. So they're going to pull those shenanigans. where it's like there's an NX version. If I was them, what I would do is I would release the Wii U version and then release an HD-er
Zelda version. HD-er?
Yeah, for the NX. It's that HD would,
that would
NX.
That would kill people. People would riot.
They would buy that shit up, dude.
No, they wouldn't.
They would not even think twice about it because Zelda sells. People love Zelda, can do no wrong. And they'll be like, no, this version's definitely better. Oh, they changed some things. It's like, no, you're getting swindled. But even still, what Nintendo should do is allow either a discounted version for the upgrade to the other one, if they do this. I'm just talking completely off the cuff here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there is a few stories going around, but NX for sure, March 2017, and then also there's credence to what you're saying about them not bringing it up at E3, and they're really just going to focus on the new Zelda game, and that's kind of why I was talking about that.
Didn't that just get re-delayed or something?
The Zelda game?
Yeah.
I feel like it's always getting delayed, and if they delay it one more time, it's going to have to, I don't know. What's left for the NX now that, or what's left for the Wii U now that we know NX?
Nothing. Absolutely
basically coming
nothing.
Out. Yeah. And then are they going to lose all these old games? Like, what happens to Smash? It's just.
What do you mean? There's going to be another one. Why wouldn't there be another one?
No.
What happened to Smash on Nintendo 64?
What do you mean, Smash on Nintendo 64? Oh, they made one for GameCube. Yeah,
they made one for GameCube.
I see what you're saying, but they also... Sakurai went on record saying, like, he's done. He's not making another one.
Well...
He's kind of the linchpin in making... I mean, they could probably make one without him.
It'll be the same thing.
I don't want to live in that world, Omar, where Sakurai doesn't make a...
Hey, you need to live in a world... Dreams are dead. The world is a terrible place.
Tuesday Night Specials Omar is a very, very dark Omar. Anyways, I'm excited about that. If anything, I'm excited for the NX more than anything else that's happening right now. More than VR, more than AR.
Yeah, we should talk about VR. So the Oculus
uh-huh.
is going to be for sale in Best Buys before they've actually finished mailing them out to the people who will pre-order them.
How
fucked is that?
Wait, are you sure that like just half the Best Buys aren't just gonna get ones that they may have backed on Kickstarter and then like
the Best Buy is a Kickstarter backer?
Yeah, the other Best Buys, they're probably just not gonna get one ever at all, or it will get delayed.
Nope, there's multiple stories pointing to the fact that Oculus is making sure that the retailers, Best Buy being included in that, are getting fulfillment of their orders before pre-orders are fulfilled. And there was that crazy, the crazy delay in all those shipments that were supposed to have come out already.
Yeah.
Like, something happened. They just didn't talk about what, but something happened and they just weren't shipping them out to people.
Does that just mean that those kits are coming from different factories, like a different side of the world or something, and that's why that's happening that way? Do you think there's differences in the hardware, actually? Like, that's
and the
crazy.
Ones that are going to the stores?
Than the ones that people are getting.
No, I think they sold the ones that people are getting already, and they're like, hey, we need to sell more of these. Let's put them in stores before we ship the other ones out to other people.
Weird. Do you think that... Nah, that can't be it.
What else could it be?
I don't know. It's not like Palmer Luckey's like, I'm really going to dick these people over who supported me for this long. Like, that's not a good policy for
no,
a company
it's terrible.
To do.
It's absolutely terrible. But what it is what's happening.
There's no way that's this intentional, though. And there's no way that like a president like Palmer Luckey or whoever, whatever company is like, no, I'm really going to screw over these consumers because that's not a good way to sell more of those things.
No, it's a bunch of like inexperienced people trying to take this on, I think. I don't know. It seems really strange. It seems like a strange move that if you knew that you have all these units sitting and ready to go to retail stores, like you wouldn't be like, hey, sorry, Best Buy, we can't do that right now, but we got to make good on these other things.
That's why my assumption is like wherever they're shipping from, they could be just like different parts of the globe or something, and for it to make sense.
But it doesn't matter. It's still a unit. Yeah. A unit is a unit.
But let's say... like the units going to some distributing center for Best Buy in like Texas, right? As opposed to like individual houses. So then you'd have to pay for shipping from that Texas shipping center or whatever to these people's individual house. Like it's probably a whole separate thing.
That doesn't make sense.
What they should do is allow the, because since Best Buy is getting them, I don't know. They'd probably have to bite the bullet somehow on this one.
No, because like, Best Buy is buying them.
Yeah, because Best Buy is buying them. Yeah. Man, that's weird. That sucks. Yeah, there's not really a way to spin this. I'm trying to stick up for VR here. I'm
telling you, the world is
not
a
thing
place,
I usually
Evan.
Do.
The world is a terrible place. Dreams are dead.
Maybe for VR, like, just throwing that out there. Maybe for VR, the world is a terrible place. Can we talk about how I'm still not sold?
We're talking about like people are going to go into Best Buys and demo VR units. Ew. How utterly disgusting that is going to be.
Yeah. No, there's no way that works. You can't do like a VR demo in a retail store.
They're doing it.
They're going to knock over all of those season collections of Lost or whatever.
You have like a 2-foot tether.
What are they going to do? Put a rolly chair, like an office chair in the demo area? No,
they're going to hang that thing off of a hook in the ceiling. And you're not going to be able to move anywhere because it's strapped to your face.
All right, they're going to get a crane. And they're going to lower the
kid. Or no. What it's going to be is you're not even going to put it on. You're just going to put your face up to it. It's going to be attached to a thing.
Oh my gosh, that would not be good. That's like just Virtual Boy. That's just Virtual Boy.
It's Virtual Boy. That's got to exist, right? Somebody has got to have emulated Virtual Boy in one of the VR headsets already.
Also, who's paying for these kiosks? Like, who's gonna, like, is Oculus just doing that? They're gonna build these kiosks like that are like thousands of dollars,
probably,
to put in these stores. And then they're going to put them across the country? I don't know. Like, you think about a console kiosk, that's easy to do. Best Buy has tons of TVs and stuff. I don't know. They can just use one or whatever. I'm sure Nintendo sends them, like, one. But still, then, I don't know. It just seems crazy. Oculus is going to send them a headset and a PC and a monitor to display all this. That's, like, tons of money. And then...
Yeah, but that's nothing. It's marketing. Marketing is, like, half of the cost of anything, right?
I mean, I guess if you're Facebook, yeah, it's not that much. Marketing's a half of the cost of everything. Sure. Yeah, I buy this. What else you got?
There was something else.
Something about a French guy.
French guy. Oh, yeah. that dude finally won his war against Ubisoft, right? And got his game back.
What are you talking about right now?
Patrice. The dude got fired from Ubisoft, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the details are still like cloudy, but he either laid off or walked away or got fired. I think this split basically based on like creative differences. He was doing Assassin's Creed stuff, and then
he's the Assassin's Creed guy.
Yeah, he's an Assassin's Creed guy. And so he went on to make his other thing, but then the company he was working for got bought by Ubisoft or something.
THQ.
Right?
It was a part of THQ.
Yeah, and then his company got bought. And yeah, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, so he got his game back. He finally won. It's been years. No one's even thought about it forever, but he finally won and got his game.
Yeah, that's
1666 or whatever.
I wonder how much it cost him, and like in terms of emotional and mental strength as well as monetary.
Games. I mean, who knows? But he, in the wake of all this happening too, people have been posting like snippets of the game, like, you know, video of the game being played.
Yeah, I think he like just let a bunch of it out, right? Like he just leaked a bunch of it.
Yeah,
I mean, technically, I don't know.
It seems cool. But... It's not exactly Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, what is it exactly? In your words,
it's old timey fighty stuff.
Old timey fighty stuff. That's the back of the box label.
Yep.
Old-timey
fighty
stuff.
10 out of 10, old-timey fighty stuff.
I'll play that for a small fee, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. That's video games.
There's one story left we're talking about, if only to Sean Ryan for not being here.
Okay.
There is a super rad Ori and the Blind Forest soundtrack vinyl that is glow-in-the-dark. A fucking... glow-in-the-dark record for Ori and the Blind Forest.
That's cool, I guess. I don't know. Like,
dude, that's pretty cool. I mean, in terms of... As somebody who's bought records in the past and you get pretty psyched about crazy marble or, like, limited edition colored vinyls, a glow-in-the-dark record is pretty cool. Like, I'd seen one before, like, in the music area of my life. But for games, it's crazy because... That whole game is glowy, you know? Like, Ori and the Blind Forest is a glowy-ass game. And if and if any game was to have a record to be associated with it, and the color that I would pick for a limited edition version would definitely be glow-in-the-dark for Ori and the Blind Forest.
How did I Am 8-Bit become the go-to, like, I want to make a record about my game, people?
That's what they do, man. That's
they just make vinyl now? There's a vinyl house?
Well, no. They're a third-party, like... I guess I try not
to
say the words.
Merch creator or something.
Right,
but
right.
Like,
I'm trying not to say the words wrong because we know some of the people there and.
Whatever, they were jerks to me.
So yeah, there's Noah over there who kind of did the first, I think, like vinyl for the first Hotline Miami game, And they're basically like a third party like marketing machine where they create all these like press kits and limited edition merch, and they're like a weird like collaborative kind of like think tanky like production weird.
Yeah, but all like, marketing they make production now house. Is limited edition vinyl for about video games.
They make a lot more than that, but that's definitely one of their things in their wheelhouse. I imagine that's like another Noah project. Like Kyle knows that guy. Bossman knows that guy. They're sure like really good friends. They're like roommates or something.
Seems fitting.
Yeah. And then you've probably heard of John Gibson. He's like one of the co-founders over there. But yeah, like those guys are making all kinds of weird, crazy stuff all the time for like different companies. Like stuff you probably wouldn't see sometimes too. There's like inside industry events and like parties. Like Sony Santa Monica's like, oh, we want to throw like a party for our new employees or something. They might hire somebody like IM8Bit to like coordinate and like come up with some cool ideas. Like you'll always see them at GDC. They have like that 80s booth where people go. I forget what they even market there, but you know, that's a thing that they do. There's other places that do it, but probably IM8Bit is one of the best at doing that. The art studio stuff, the art shows and the art books and stuff, that's like just stuff they do on the side. Like that's probably not really their bread and butter, you know. They don't make as much from that. Like I imagine it'd be really hard to maintain a studio in Los Angeles just on art shows about video games, right? And I haven't heard about one of those happening in a long time.
Yeah, so. Either have I.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it in a nutshell, I guess. IM8Bit, woo. That stuff's all right. Some of the stuff they come up with is pretty cool. I have to give them credit for that. But
like what other vinyl are you talking about?
I guess the other Hotline Miami one was good. They did one for Hotline Miami too. Maybe that was the first one. I don't even know.
They did that one. They did one for Journey. They did one for something else probably.
Yeah. You know who has cooler posters though? That Fan Gamer or Gamer Fan or whatever.
Fan Gamer is
yeah. What? Yeah. They have dope posters over there. I got Ryan one once. It was a Metroid one. It was sick.
You know what? I almost end up, after shitting on that stuff for a while, I almost end up buying the Transistor vinyl thing that I think was coming.
Oh, yeah. No, that is definitely them as well. I'm pretty sure. That is definitely maybe sort of. Supergiant
does a lot of their own merch, but yeah. I think that was an IM8Bit thing.
Yeah, that definitely could have been. That sounds awesome also. That's a good soundtrack. I was just thinking about that the other day. Should just go listen to that. I actually have been thinking about that game a lot lately. It's weird. Like, I haven't played it. I haven't seen it being played. I don't think anybody's been talking about it. I find it, like, Transistor. I just find it, like, coming up in my brain. Like, remember that game Transistor?
You know why?
And, like, how you do that?
Because it's one of the greatest games ever made.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Game of the year.
Game of the year. Wait, what year was that? 2013?
No.
2014?
14? Yeah, 14. Was it last year or the year before? It was the year
before.
No,
it wasn't last year. It was the year before, yeah. Anyways, I like Transistor. I'm probably going to play that again soon.
Yeah, fantastic game.
Yeah.
Freaking love it. I can't wait to play Pyre.
Yeah, I dislike the way the environment looks in that, but then once I heard it explained like what's going on in that environment where it's like a sports type of game.
It's like basketball?
It's weird.
Soccer maybe?
It's weird. I there's some elements of Transistor where I feel like the world doesn't feel like it feels a little flat in some place. I mean, I know that's like the style. Ugh, I don't know. Are you interested in a new Bastion at this point?
A new Bastion?
Yeah.
Like a sequel to Bastion?
Do you think they'll ever go back and make sequels for some other games?
No, I don't think so.
Have they come out and said that? Has Supergiant said
that? No, but that feels like the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They're constantly moving forward, that company.
Sure. I just imagine you always, when you have... I'm sure this happens to you too, Omar. Like, you have a favorite band, right? Like, there's Bane. And then you go and see Bane. And you're like, someday Bane is going to break up. And they're going to have a reunion tour and everybody's going to shit a brick. That's like what I'm doing right now. Like, I'm thinking about the reunion tour for Bastion.
But those guys are still together. What reunion tour? It's not like they're not making games anymore. They made Transistor.
The reunion tour is like, hey, we're going to show like this crazy teaser at E3 2020. And it's going to be just like Kid or something, like his silhouette. Or and like his bandana and all you can see, and these people are gonna go nuts. They're like, yeah, Bastion's so good. I mean, maybe Transistor is that game for you, but I thought Bastion was alright. I like Transistor more though.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever actually finished Bastion all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I own it in like 15 different consoles or places.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I ever actually finished it. Yeah, but Pyre seems like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, have you seen a lot of it?
Like, I mean, no. I haven't seen any of it. I just saw the trailer and then hear people talk about it. Like, people from work went to PAX and they got to play it. They say it was really cool.
Man, there's
and
some
it,
other
and
cool
it's hard
stuff.
To, it's hard to understand the game until you actually play it because it's like a weird mix-up of stuff. And, you know, and you feel the bones,
yeah,
the super giant bones, but it's like totally different because it's basically a sports game.
Right. Yeah, that is weird. I just assumed that those guys were going to make a MOBA after hearing how much they play like Dota, and it's insane, right? They talked about how they had to kind of like uninstall it from their machines because they weren't getting work done.
Yeah, but I mean, just because you really, really like something doesn't mean you're going to make something like it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Like, that's how I am, I guess. Like, when I really like something, I want to make something that's like it, but put my own spin on it, try to make it better, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. That I feel like that would make you not like it as much.
That's definitely a thing that probably game developers face, I imagine. But you really gotta love that stuff, I guess. But to be fair, there is a lot of like RTS history with Supergiant. I think like two or three of those guys all worked on Red Alert games and stuff, or Command and Conquered for sure. Before they left, and then I feel like Greg Kasavin stayed there the longest. I went to a panel at PAX where he talked about kind of like his jump from like big studio game making to being into indie, like to joining Supergiant actually, where he said he was really scared because he like had to support his family and stuff, and if you like decide to do this thing, it really has to work or you're totally hosed, right? Like, if your company, your independent studio, doesn't make money, then what do you do, right? Like, how are you able to live? Like, how do you look your wife and kid in the face and be like, we can't buy food?
You gotta go work for the man.
Yeah, so I think like he was like the longest holdout where he was just like waiting till he had like the right time to like transition over. It's interesting. I'm sure there's some place on the internet about where he's talking about it and it's recorded and could do it better justice than I am now. Anything else? You been doing anything else?
Been watching TV.
What are you watching? I finished watching The Flash.
Oh, yeah?
That's comic book related. Not season two, just season one.
Oh.
Sorry. That season finale for season one is kind of a bummer, huh?
You have to remind me all the things that happened in the finale besides the wormhole.
So it's pretty terrible. He spends like the half the episode determining whether or not he's going to go into the wormhole. And then once he gets there, he sees himself and he tells himself not to intervene with his mom's death.
Yep, that sucks.
And then the spoiler, or not the spoiler, I mean, that's all spoiler territory. But then the end, like the hook, is like he goes into a giant black hole and that's where they end it. Like he jumps into the black hole.
Yeah.
And they're just like, this season's over. Have fun. I would have been pissed if I knew like I didn't have access to season two. Like, I still haven't watched the first episode, but you know.
I mean, you always got to end on a cliffhanger, right?
Do they explain any of that or all of that when you come back to season two?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
The entire season is wrapped around that concept.
Yeah, right on.
Do you watch Walking Dead?
Sometimes. I catch episodes here and there at my brother's house when I visit him up north when I'm working.
Because you were reading all those books in that big giant book he had, right?
I read like 7 volumes of those big giant books. Or, no, the first one is an omnibus, so I think it goes to, like, it must go to, like, issue 50 or something, or 60. And then I read up to, like, volume 7 of the trade paperback trades, and I think it's up to, like, I'm just under 100 right now.
Oh, so you're still under 100.
I think so, yeah. Because What's-His-Face is still alive, so I can't...
Who?
Glenn.
Oh, okay, okay.
Right?
Yeah, because I read up just past 100, and that's when that dude died when I stopped.
Yeah, okay.
But like, I guess that's where they are in the show, and the season just ended, and they like,
and they don't show who dies, right?
They don't, but like, yeah, they don't show that part. I wonder if they're gonna come back and actually kill that guy because he seems to be like the fan favorite of the show.
Oh man, yeah, it's weird to me seeing the I don't know if his name is Shane from The Walking Dead. Is it Shane, the other cop? The best friend of the guy who's in the hospital.
And the one who is the Punisher?
Yeah, the Punisher. It's weird seeing that guy as the Punisher. And then also I see him in other stuff as just like being a total jerk. all the time. And I'm like, I don't know, like, I don't know. I don't know if I buy it. Do you like him as the Punisher? I'm Ryan's gonna murder him.
I haven't finished Daredevil season 2 yet, but yeah, he seems alright. They're giving him his own show. He must have been okay enough.
Yeah, I've seen the first 4 episodes of Daredevil season 2. First 5 maybe.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch.
Sometimes it can be. Yeah.
It's super slow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to really dedicate to be like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch this now."
Or sometimes it's like, yeah, it's kind of dark too, so it gets weird.
Dark. It's getting kind of cheesy.
Well, like you got to It's cheesy for sure, but you got to kind of be in like, "Okay, I'm okay with like seeing a guy like lose his fingers or something today." Like just the theme in general of the show, like the darkness, the way it's shot and everything. It's not really like watching The Flash, which is super uplifting.
Telling you, greatest TV show ever made.
After
drama,
watching
sad intrigue, stuff.
Sad stuff. Other emotions.
Yeah, romantic stuff. Comedy.
The romance.
At the end of the day, you feel good about everything.
I feel like there's definitely moments in The Flash where I'm like, this is a CW right here. Like, this is a CW episode where it's just like all relationship stuff. And people freaking out about nonsense. That's like, there's a dude like who controls tornadoes running around. Who cares? Just go stop that guy first. I don't know. The Flash is good, though.
I'll give
you guys that. It's a good show. And also, like, after having watched The Flash, watching other shows, I'm like, it's hard. It's hard to go watch other shows now. Just not as good. And there's a certain amount of cheese to The Flash, right?
Yeah, but it's the right kind.
It's the right kind. Hey, did you ever end up playing Quantum Break?
No.
You were so pumped on that. What happened?
I know. It came out,
The punchline is that game is terrible, or what?
No, I actually heard it's not too bad.
Oh, okay.
What did happen? I didn't have time I don't remember what happened.
You should probably play that. I think you told me it was one of your most anticipated games out of the E3 that I came out of.
I think I always talked about how it was interesting because of what they were doing.
And then
what happened in the interim of it being announced and it releasing. You know, the whole like backbone of that game fell out from under them when Microsoft closed the studio. I don't remember what happened because I meant to play it, and I think I was on the verge of like getting it for free even, and I just never followed through.
Bummer, dude.
Never got it. Oh, I know what I remember because I was like, oh, I'll play it on my PC because I got a PC now.
Yeah.
Then I remember reading like, oh, it's terrible on the PC because of all these crazy things that Microsoft did for their games for Windows or whatever.
Oh, no.
And yeah, that like turned me off.
That is one thing that scares me. You know, another thing that scares me is I'm looking at my like RSS feed right now, and at the very top is a story for Powers.
Yeah, it's coming back.
No, I can never watch that again.
It's coming back.
I can't
back.
Believe that's a. And also, how can Powers exist in a world where The Flash exists, where this is polar opposites? Like, greatest show ever, worst show ever.
Because Sony needs TV on that on that platform.
So they have Powers. They should have canned it and made something else. I don't know.
Ugh, they spent money on that dude coming out on the E3 stage. I'm talking about this stupid TV show for 30 minutes.
What they should do is just bring another camera and then show like the real life situation of these people acting terribly on the show, but like in front of the cast and crew, and then make it a reality TV show.
Yeah, just keep making the show, but have a second set of cameras videotaping the creation of the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Then I can
and
watch
you can
that.
See the writer and director of every episode just kind of like crying silently in their chairs.
Yeah.
At the end of every day.
Absolutely. Yes. I am down for this. This is a dark, dark world, but I want to see it. I want to see it. Are you ready for picks of the week? I think we've been in this talking thing for long enough.
Okay.
This makes an episode, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Picks of the week. Yeah. Go, Omar.
The only thing that I played that isn't terrible is I picked up a game that's in early access called Jalopy on Steam.
Okay.
And it's like a super lo-fi like look, but basically it's like a real-time road trip simulator kind of. You have to like put together this like super dumb car, you know, hence the name Jalopy.
Okay.
You put it together. You have to, like, maintain it on your trip. And you hop in with what appears to be your uncle, I think.
Okay.
And you go on a road trip. You, like, pick your destination and you start driving. And you have to drive from A to B. Obviously not in, like, real time or anything. You're not, like, driving for hours and hours to get to one place. But
right.
You have to do things like you have to stop at night and find a hotel. And you have to, like, put gas in the car and mix it with oil because it's a two-stroke engine for some reason in a car.
Uh-huh.
And you have to swap the tires out because they get worn out. You have to, like, work on the engine because it'll break down sometimes. It's super weird.
That is kind of weird. That sounds awesome, though.
It's kind of cool, yeah. It's early access, so it's, like, not the greatest yet, but it's still a really weird thing. It's kind of funny and fun.
Man, early access is so bittersweet because I get real excited about games people are making, and then I'll buy into the early access and then play it and just be like, man, I can't wait for this to be done. But then some of those games take like 3 years to be done, and that's just the way games are.
Or if they ever get done.
Or they may not ever get done, yeah. So, yeah, it's always like bittersweet. I feel like Slime Rancher was that for me. I don't even like think that game is done yet, but I bought into that a while ago. I have a bunch of games in my... And I wish that in your Steam library... There was just like a check mark or something that would tell you at this point, because I have just like tens and tens of games that are early access probably.
That's a thing, right? There's a way to sort them by that.
Is it really?
There has to be.
Gosh,
I'm gonna open it right now.
Yeah, let's fact check this one. I have to know if I've been doing this wrong.
Library.
Yeah, library. There you go. Looking at your list of Steam games. Tell me what you see, Omar. Paint me a word picture.
I mean, nope. They have a...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the store does, uh-huh. Maybe?
Yeah.
The store has an early access section.
Right.
Yeah, but your library does not.
What I want is, like, the thumbnail of the game or whatever to have, like, a sticker on it that just says, this game isn't done yet, bro.
Yeah.
So that I know. Because some of those games I don't want to play until they're done. And then some of those games probably have been...
That's crazy. That's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day.
Also, if there's some games that you don't want to play until they're done, why'd you buy them in the first place?
Because I wanted to check them out, and I wanted to support the developer. So some of them I don't even play, because I'm like, this is going to be dope when it's done. I'm just going to give these guys money now. And then sometimes you get games cheaper that way, too. So it works out. And then other times, when those early access games do come out, they are really bad about like getting the word out, or sometimes the thunder's gone. And
so what ends up happening for me is you play a bunch of things in a terrible way, and then by the time it finally comes out, you don't give a shit anymore because you played it terribly.
Yeah. The reason I was thinking about all this is because my pick of the week is a game I've been playing on Steam. It's called Hyper Light Drifter.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. It's a really good game. It reminds me of... I guess it does remind me of Bastion quite a bit. And
really? Okay.
The weapon changing is not nearly the same, but like the type of combat is kind of like you run around, you dash around, you swipe things with a sword, you can shoot stuff with a gun. And it's like kind of like Legend of Zelda meets Bastion meets, I don't know, that top-down like action RPG perspective.
And how much better would that game be if it had a narrator telling you what is actually fucking happening in the game?
Nah, I don't need that. I don't need that. I like everything that's going on in that game. There's no words to get to what you're saying at. There's no like text dialogue or anything like that. When you talk to people in the town, they just make funny noises, and sometimes they'll show you like a comic book.
They'll show you pictures.
Like comic book, like a storyboard or something of things that happen. Like I found this bird guy. And he was just hanging out in this mountain. And I was like, what are you doing up here, bird guy? And then he tells me the story of like how these monsters came and like burned all the eggs in his village. And then he like escaped with a handful of eggs. And now he's just like hiding in the mountain.
Yeah, the bird people are all over the place. And there's also bad bird people, I guess, because you fight them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's definitely bad bird people.
Yeah, I don't really understand. I wish I would have gone further in that game. I would have continued to play it if... there was something pointing me into something I could understand, you know?
Dude, what's the first direction you went, like cardinal up. Direction? Okay. I was just making sure I'm not crazy because I kind of got stuck and I don't know if the door was broken or something. Basically, I collected three of those triangle diamond things and then went to this door that had three triangle things on it. And then when I went in there, I beat all the enemies, but the gate on the other side didn't open, so I didn't know if I was doing something wrong or did it backwards. Or
I mean, you made it way further than me. Like, I went up and collected a couple of those things and then got to a point that seemed too hard, like I shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So I left, and then I went left, and I did the same thing. I went as far as I could, collect as many of those things until it felt like I shouldn't be there, and then I went the other direction. I basically did that, and I got almost nowhere. Like, I collected enough to upgrade my sword once, because it takes forever to collect the, so many fucking upgrade things.
And that's it. And then I stopped. I hear you. Like, I've upgraded things twice. No, three times. I got bombs now. So,
Whoa, that's crazy.
But I did that all mostly through going through that one area. Oh, no, I went right a little bit, too. So that was the thing. I was afraid of walking away when I got stuck. I was afraid of walking away from up north because I was like, no, all this stuff is fresh in my memory now. I should just figure out whatever the puzzle is or figure out where I need to go. I wish just the map, like, I love the way the map looks and I love how it's, you know, a little bit ambiguous, but it's a little too, like, I just wish there was a way to tell me, like, where I need to go for what I want to do. But I don't, this is a fun game to run around and explore in, and like some of the artwork in that game is just beautiful. It's definitely
good looking. I don't know if this is ever going to be a plus for you, but I just saw that they like stealth released a co-op beta thing for that game.
That's cool. I wonder what it would be like though. Like, I wonder what you do together. Like, there's not really a lot of room for another player. And then if you're both like dashing around like that.
I mean, if you're not colliding with each other, like, how is there not enough room?
Well, the other, like, crazy knight-looking dudes in that game, or girls, are freaking rad. So, you know, having, like, co-op of that seems cool. There's, like, a knight guy that you find, and he's usually just busting heads when you run into him. Or, like, saving your ass. So, I don't know. That's cool. That's a cool game. I think it could be cool with co-op. They probably just have to build out some levels differently or something. Yeah, I like Hyperlight Drifter. That's my pick of the week.
Cool.
Well, that's it, man. We did it. We made it to the end. It's going to do it. Episode 228 is coming to a close. But we'd first like to say thank you. You've got a lot of podcasts to listen to. You chose to listen to ours. And that makes you what, Omar Damas?
Something. I don't know. It's late.
If you want to check out more of our stuff, you can do it on... indestructibleart.com. Hit us up on Twitter at pixelsthepanels, or write us an email to the address podcast@indestructibleart.com. And bye. Goodbye.
Anything that you don't cover doesn't fall in the esport category.
Madden is not an esport, yeah.
Sure it does. They play it for money.
No, that's not an esport. Madden's not an esport.
They play it for money.
You know, Rocket League might not even be an esport.
I don't know. Do they play Rocket League for money?
Yeah, they play Rocket League for money.